A weak solidarity Bricky team listener when big supremo Scuttlebin Moore Lashson, a.k.a. Scummo, went electioneering, able to boast yet another major success the True Blue Aussie way. Number one in the world in the worst climate change, if there is such a thing, policy. It takes a lot of work, the True Blue Aussie way, to win the race to run last in the world, he boasted. The True Blue Aussie can do capitalism way. And True Blue Aussie can do capitalism has contributed to us winning this award, an invaluable contribution. Unfortunately, with that, the electioneering took a backward step, or more correctly, put the wheels into reverse by destroying our True Blue Aussie weekends. Offering all this money to the private sector to install electric car recharging plants all over the country. And although the Socialist Party is scoffing that this has pinched the very policy Scuttlebin attacked them for, there is a major difference the Socialists are ignoring. Scuttlebin is offering nothing to encourage electric car take-up, make them more affordable and available, for instance, and nothing to limit the pollution belching from the other 97 or whatever percent of trucks and cars as they race or, more likely, slowly traffic jam their way past the recharges. On a positive getting its tactics and principles together, the Socialist Party came up with a real brainwave to counter government attempts to wedge it, as they say, over including carbon capture and storage, the burying your head in the sand solution, as part of a lower emissions fund to hand even more money to the private sector. A brilliant solution under the headline, Socialist Party could sidestep carbon capture wedge. By, well, obviously, standing up for its principles and telling the government to stick burying your head in the sand where it belongs. Well, no, not quite. See, the too clever by half government reckons it's got the socialist wedge between their opposition to carbon sequestration, as burying your head in the sand is called, and being seen to oppose other initiatives. But the socialists are too smart to fall for that. Instead of opposing carbon capture and storage, they will support carbon capture and storage. Told you it was brilliant. Yet another courageous socialist principle tactic. That way, the government can't attack our policy. Spokesperson Chris Bowen at the Capitol looked very smug. That is the policy you don't have anyway. Exactly, it's safer that way. And Chris, you don't think the government might be open to attack on its policy, which is also your non-policy, which won us the Worst in the World award? Better safe than sorry. This way, we can't be attacked for not supporting this remarkable national achievement. Socialist Party Supremo and would-be Big Supremo, Anthony Albanese, did say, direct quote, I am sick of the government's hypocrisy on climate change. Just thought I'd throw that one in without comment. No hypocrisy, though, with our filthy riches for the filthy rich men, 20 for rich and richer. For the record, Gina Nohart is the filthiest rich of all the True Blue Aussie can-do capitalists, currently campaigning for more corporate welfare for the resource and pastoral industries, which by sheer coincidence happened to be the source of her filthy rich. But number one male, great can-do capitalist 20, who is touring the world in his new role as the world's number one greenie, saving the planet through green hydrogen, with no thought for the billions he expects to profit from green hydrogen whenever he can get it going. And given Twitty is so into preaching his credentials to the world, just thought we might mention that last year his company, Fortescue Profits, blew the pollution from 700 million litres of diesel fuel, correct figure, 700 million litres of diesel fuel, into the atmosphere he reckons he wants to save. Almost a 10% increase on the previous year, and as thanks on behalf of the environment, received $300 million courtesy, the correct figure again, of the taxpayer in fuel tax credit. Hope those corporate handouts are coming from the Clean Energy Fund. That would make greener than green Twitty feel even better holding out his hand. Although he's clearly thinking of others and not himself, as he opposes attempts by environmentalists to slash fuel tax credits altogether. Obviously environmentalists who are not as green as Twitty is green. And of course we know the Twitty for Rich and Richer family made its original fortune from huge pastoral interests, where doubtless they would have employed the original owners of those vast tracts of land. and provided them with a fair day's tobacco or maybe beads or mirrors or smallpox. That lady has also been a champion of Indigenous interests, telling us how much he does to make Indigenous lives that little bit better. That must explain why Fortescue for Profits is opposing changes to Aboriginal heritage laws that would give traditional owners a limited right to oppose projects planned for their land, like Twitty's proposed West Pilbara Fines Mine iron ore project affecting the PKKP people, the very same traditional owners who saw their Juukan Gorge sacred sites blasted into extinction by Rio Tinto the planet. We do support the Western True Blue Aussie government retaining responsibility for the protection of Aboriginal cultural heritage, Fortescue for Profits submitted. That captures Twitty's genuine concern for Indigenous people, as that would mean the PKKP people could carry on as much as they like over his West Pilbara Fines project, but have absolutely no rights to do anything about it. As I said, there's no hypocrisy with good old Twitty, like his belief that resource companies like his have the right to explore and extract on other people's land, like on those selfish PKKP people's land. Except when it's on his family's pastoral estates, as he took another mining company to the High Court to prevent it exploring on his land, and won. A man so devoted to consistency and green, green, green would have applauded Indonesia in other people's business for its consistency, as Indonesia Inn, home to a third of the world's rainforests, signed a deforestation agreement in Glasgow, a commitment which lasted exactly 2 days. The agreement is at odds with our development plans and must be fine-tuned, Environment Minister Siti Nabaya Barker said. Forcing Indonesia in to reach zero deforestation in 2030 is clearly inappropriate and unfair. The massive development of this era must not stop in the name of carbon emissions or in the name of deforestation. Oh, well, she's made that pretty clear. Well, perhaps Twitty could build a green hydrogen plant where the forest used to be and balance the equation. Or even better, a great opportunity for the True Blue Aussie way can-do capitalism. As Indonesia Inn chainsaws its forests, our can-do lot could plant a tree in Indonesia Inn to offset the coal and other fossils we're refusing to reduce. Win-win. And then when they get round to it, Indonesia Inn could chop down that tree and then we could plant another. It's a great initiative. Although thinking about that, when it comes to doing something about climate change, if there is such a thing, and not beating the world as the worst in addressing the issue, and thinking about ScoMo's deeply thought-through assertion that climate change, if there is, can be solved by True Blue Aussie can-do capitalism, does the phrase can't do capitalism spring to mind, listener? It certainly can do and keeps doing in creating the problem. Bit of bad luck for the government's latest addition to the High Court bench, Simon Stewart of the Right, who specialised in tax law before his appointment to the Federal Court bench 3 years ago, as his High Court colleagues have thrown out on appeal three of his Federal Court decisions over tax matters, including one involving a Labor hire ripper offer described as a Labor hire magnate who kept setting up Phoenix companies to avoid worker entitlements and the tax department, in which his honour found for the Phoenix ripper offer against the tax department seeking a mere $163 million in unpaid taxes. However, he will prove an invaluable addition to the bench as, well, we recall last year we commented on then-Minister for Keeping Us Secure and Concentration Camps, Razor Wire and Sink the Boats, Constable Peter Duffer, quite properly most upset when the High Court ruled he couldn't deport Indigenous True Blue Aussies, one born in PNG, the other New Zealand, but living in True Blue Aussie since they were babies. As if the first peoples of this country have a legal right to live here under British law. Well, the question is set to return to the High Court, and one legal journo suggested those outraged by the earlier decision nominated Simon because he would not agree with such nonsense. So let's hope he does the right thing by Constable Duffer and others fighting to preserve us from these Indigenous vexatious litigants. One federal court is on a weekend praise upheld that most precious of rights, the right of a worker not to join a union. Interesting how the law supports you if you don't join a union and fails to support you if you do. Anyway, he ordered a company to pay $67,000 to a bloke called John, poor John, who did nothing but defend his right as the company threatened to cut his wages if he did not join the evil CFMEU. Totally reprehensible, his honour exploded. Among the worst examples of coercion. Dear me. Although maybe the cut was back to the wages he would have received, but for the union's campaigns over the years. But then the right not to join also makes illegal a union's non-right to seek fees from good principled people like John for benefits it wins for its members, and illegal to withhold those benefits from those exerting their very important right not to pay their fees and join the union. Congratulations to his honour for upholding these important human rights. Finally, a former New South Wales state minister and caring business class party treasurer, bloke called Michael Yabsley, wrote a piece urging former Big Supremo Malcolm Turnbull to stop attacking the conspirator who stabbed him in the back. Malcolm, we can find fault with the Moore Lash Sun leadership just as we could find fault with the Turnbull leadership. But Moore Lash Sun is a good person and you know it. Good point, Michael. We all know it. Well, I'm not sure Malcolm does, but we do. Like the French Big Supremo, we don't think, we know. Good morning.